Good to be here this morning with all of you, and as always, it is a good day when we can gather together for our worship service, so I know all of us are excited to be here this morning. I do have several things that I wanted to mention from the bulletin, some that have already been seen, but I will start by reminding you again that we do have our youth dinner today, and they'll be serving chicken bog, and if you have not made plans to attend, it's not too late. You can cancel what you're doing to stay if you'd like to, or if you can, that would be great. Also, just a reminder again, the services tonight are dismissed. No evening services here tonight. And I did want to mention also, which you saw that, a congratulations to Philip and Kimberly for the birth of their new child. I know she's called Ellie, and I have to apologize. I was going to try the pronunciation of, is it?
Eliana.
Eliana, that's right, Eliana Faith. So congratulations, it's good to see that everybody's doing well. And also a reminder, there is a bridal shower here this afternoon for Shad and Beth from 3 to 4:30. And one last thing that I wanted to mention to you this morning, we do have, we are going to be taking up during our offering time, we will be collecting the benevolent fund offering. So if you want to put anything toward that, you need to put in an envelope and earmark it so that we know that that's what you want that to go toward. I believe Dr. Blank had a few things he'd like to mention.
First of all, I do want to mention that our 8th annual Southern Methodist College golf tournament is going to be scheduled for April the 18th. So you golfers, get your teams together. Back in the hallway on the table, there are the flyers, the applications. We hope we can have at least 3 or 4 teams from our church going out there again at the Calhoun Country Club to enjoy that day of golfing with other team people. So be sure to pick up your form and get your teams together and be ready for that particular event. Also, we do want to mention that the Robinson young people are going to be singing in the next several Sundays. They're going to be doing a special number around the sowing and the reaping kind of theme. And Kimberly and Philip has asked that we announce that any of you who have a picture of your garden with no weeds in it now, okay?
That's
a picture.
Not
pardon me?
The weeds are, they can have weeds.
Yeah, oh, they have weeds, that's good, okay. You have weeds, don't put them there intentionally. Or maybe of your flower garden or a pretty tree in your yard. to be sure and get that to Robinson's in the next several days. You can go ahead and you can digital to it to them. What would be the number they would digital it to then for it?
I'll put it on the website today, on the Southern Methodist website.
Okay.
On Facebook.
Go to the website, on the Southern Methodist website, it'll be on there after today, where you can go ahead and send your the picture, or you can give a hard copy to them. They'd like to do a scrolling, effective scrolling, while they're singing the number. So you help them at that point, if you will. I had another announcement. It just slipped me just like that. I'm sure it was important. But nevertheless, keep those several things in mind. Oh, yes. Choir, please note, if you're in the audience today and you're not in the choir will rehearse at 6 o'clock tonight. Choir will rehearse at 6 o'clock tonight. Thank you again, church.
Thank you, Dr. Blank. I did have one other thing just to mention, and again, it was in the slideshow there, but next Sunday we do have our Easter sunrise service at Shiloh. If you can attend, that's at 7 o'clock in the morning. But we will also have our regular scheduled services here next week, same times, so let's plan to be here for that. Were there any other announcements this morning? Yes, Ms. Rose. Thank you, Ms. Rose. Any other announcements? Patrick?
Just a few more things about the youth dinner today. Number one, I need some kids or parents to help us in the kitchen. Don't go down there early. Wait after the last song, benediction, all that stuff, and then head down to the kitchen if you're staying to help out. Also, we always have the first two rows of tables as you walk in the fellowship hall on the right. If you would like, just sit down and have the kids bring the plates to you. Just sit down at one of those two rows of tables on the right, and the kids will bring you your plate and something to drink. If you want to go through the line and get your own food, just sit at any other rows of the three rows on the left for that. Also, we're doing takeout plates. So if you want a takeout plate, just come up to the kitchen and tell us, and we'll get you a takeout plate for you to take home. And the donation buckets, you'll see them in there. People always ask me. I usually hide them unintentionally, but we have them in there today. You're seeing they have balloons on them and all that good stuff. So that's important as well. And if you didn't bring any money today, you're still welcome to come and eat and fellowship with us. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Patrick. With any other announcements this morning? Any praises? Anything you'd like to share? Brent?
Remember the group was down in Florida this week working.
Okay. Remember the youth group down in Florida this week working at Teen Mission. Thank you, Brent. Anything else? Well, again, I do say welcome. And like I said before, anytime we can gather as a body of believers and worship together, it's a good day. So let's open with a word of prayer and give thanks. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for all you've blessed us with. We thank you for watching over us and protecting us throughout this week and bringing us here safely together this morning. I pray now, Lord, that you would prepare our hearts and our minds for this time, that everything we say and do this morning would bring you honor and glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
We do rejoice this morning again that because of Calvary, we here at the church are indeed a family in God. Expressing that, we again say, this is the day the Lord has made, and we're rejoicing and we're glad in it. Expressing that, we join with the choir in singing the call to worship on the cross for me, followed by a medley of choruses that will be listed on the scrolling at that time. Let us stand together on the cross for me, on the cross for me. Thank you. While you're standing, greet those around you, wishing God's blessing today.
If you choose to invite someone to next week's service, you might just change the destination of their eternity, because you never know. God may have designed to get them here in order that they might hear the gospel, the good news, not only of what happened on Friday, but what then transpired on that first Sunday morning, and how that changes our eternity as we embrace it. So it is not too late. If you have not made your invitations yet, I encourage you. There's a few more cards and invite card left that appear on the altar. I would pick one up and make your invitations, because you just never know what God might do in somebody's heart. In the 8th chapter of Nehemiah, it says, "This day is sacred to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Let's pray. Lord, indeed, your presence brings us strength. Your presence brings us an overflowing joy. Lord, as we stand before you, as we come before you in prayer and in praise, we know, Lord, about what this week means to us, and what it meant to you, and the road that you traveled for us. Lord, we can't ever say thank you enough. And Lord, we know that this week is like no other week. That's why it's special, and it's set apart for us to take more time, to be more reflective, to pray more, to read your word more, to allow you to speak to us, not just confirming our salvation, but the cost of our salvation. Lord, that we might be more willing than ever before to lay our lives open before you and allow you to use us and to direct us, Lord, to the places that you want us to be and the way you want us to serve. Lord, we want to hold high the cross this week. We want to hold high, Lord, the fact that the cross was not the end of the road, but Lord, the resurrection came. So help us reflect on these powerful moments of our faith, to think about the depth of your love that was willing to go through all of those things, not because you deserved it, but because we did. And Lord, we know that even though you were mocked on the cross, that Lord, for you to save yourself, we know that indeed, to save us, you couldn't come down from that cross. You had to stay there. So we thank you for that. We thank you for a place that we can gather. And Lord, as it's Palm Sunday, and on that Palm Sunday, when you rode into Jerusalem, the people were excited. And Lord, they gave you a little bit of the glory that you so richly and deserve. And so today, as we celebrate, may we do the same thing. May we give you the glory you deserve. We thank you again for watching over us. We thank you for caring about the needs of our lives and of our families. We know, Lord, that there's many unspoken requests that are here this morning, things going on in our lives and in our families that we need your wisdom in order to handle and to make the right decisions. We need your presence to give us strength, to hold us up when we feel like we can't go on. Lord, we just need you. That's the bottom line. And so we uplift each and every need before you, because we believe that only in you and through you will our needs ever be met. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
It was Passover, a night Jews had celebrated throughout the centuries. Jesus knew that he would become the only Passover lamb they would ever need again. As he gathered with his closest friends, a discussion arose over who was the greatest among them. Jesus demonstrated how to settle the argument by girding himself with a towel like a slave. Then the only begotten Son of the Most High got down on his knees and washed their dusty, grimy feet. Behold the Lamb, serving those he loved, preparing them for what they were about to face, breaking the bread and pouring out the wine, just as his body would be broken and his blood spilled for their redemption. They went out from the meal to the Mount of Olives, where it was his custom to pray. In great agony, Jesus looked ahead to what he knew he would have to suffer. If it's possible, Father, do not make me drink this cup, he cried in anguish. Yet I lay down my will so that your will can be done. Behold the Lamb, praying for his disciples and praying for every soul that would be here. Behold him humbly submitting to his Father's plan. Behold him preparing to glorify God as only he could.
For sinners crucified.
Arrested and deserted. He was beaten and humiliated and wrongly accused. Throughout the night, he was taken from one unjust trial to another. He stood before Annas, Caiaphas, Pilate, Herod, and Pilate again. He was charged with insurrection, treason, and blasphemy. In every case, he was found to be innocent. Yet the crowd and their leaders would not be satisfied until a sentence of death was pronounced. Behold the Lamb, the one who spoke worlds into existence, standing silently as they mocked his deity, rejected his love, and sneered at his sovereignty. Took his life from him. He could have stopped the painful parade up to Calvary with a word, but he never uttered it. Instead, he opened his arms to the beam. He opened his hands to the nails, and he allowed himself to be crucified. Behold the Lamb, surrendering his life, bearing our sin, absorbing the wrath of God in our place, and finally dying for our atonement.
Crucified, oh, holy Savior.
Ushers, please come forward to receive our tithes and offerings.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we truly are grateful for all you've blessed us with, and we thank you, Lord, for salvation that's been made possible through Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins that you provided, for what you've accomplished on the cross. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for the many gifts and blessings that we've received, and as we give this portion back, we ask that you would take it and use it for your honor and for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
During the singing of our next hymn, we will invite our children and children's church workers to their place of worship for the remaining service. And also following this particular song of praise to our Lord, sharing the message from the pastor, please pray as he comes and shares God's word today. 175, and let us stand together as we worship in song, Man of Sorrow, what a name, Son of Man, God who came.
Thank you.
God's people said, amen. Thank you. You may be.
Sometimes you can feel it and sometimes you can't. You know what I'm talking about. Sometimes you have walked into a place and you can almost feel the excitement. Or sometimes you walk into the place and say, well, I don't know what's going to happen here, but I don't think it's going to be much. I mean, sometimes you just feel what's about to happen. And sometimes when it's going to be really big, you don't know whether it's even going to be good or bad. You just know it is going to be big. Well, that day the disciples felt it. In fact, even the crowds, the multitude that was traveling alongside of Jesus and the disciples, they felt it too. In Mark's Gospel, the 11th chapter, verse 1 says, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you doing this, tell him the Lord needs it, and we'll send it back here shortly. They went and found the colt outside in the street, tied at the doorway. And as they untied it, some people standing there asked, what are you doing untying that colt? They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. Look, everybody knew what was going on that day. Now, they didn't have a clue to the depth of what was going on, but they knew what Jesus did and even the way that he did it. They knew the proclamation that he was making without saying a word. The disciples had waited a long time for it. Jesus was making the claim that day as he rode in on that donkey. He said, I am the Messiah. They had wondered about it before, but Jesus was making the claim right then and there. And on top of that, the crowds understood it. I mean, why else were they shouting Hosanna, which means save us? Why else were they shouting, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, or blessed is he who comes for bringing the kingdom of our father David? See, they understood what was taking place. Now, again, they did not understand the depth of what was happening. Now, we know in retrospect, don't we? We sometimes say, man, I can't believe they didn't get it. But look, we're not any brighter than they are. If we'd have been there, we'd have been just as dumbfounded as they. But we know today, because we do look in retrospect, we know that Sunday was a great day where he got a little bit of the glory to his name. But we also know what took place Monday through Saturday. And the darkness and the difficulties and how quickly things turned for Jesus. We know about Friday. And of course, we also know that the following Sunday came. And we know what that following Sunday meant. So for us, we gather on Palm Sunday and say, yeah, 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 let the party begin. And way too many Christians today, we come on Palm Sunday and we celebrate that triumphant entry into Jerusalem. We then fast forward to the following Sunday, which is Easter, and we had the great celebration of the resurrection. But way too many Christians today don't pause and meditate on the events that transpired to get us there. Way too many never slow down on Thursday evening and think about what took place, about even what the choir sang about. Way too many Christians will go through this coming Friday and they won't look at that Friday any differently than any other Friday. They won't stop and pause about noon and think that at that time, Jesus, it says that darkness covered the land. Why? Not because of his sin, but because our sins were placed upon him. And where God is, there is light. And in that moment, God turned his back on Jesus. Jesus went through hell for you and for me and for everybody else, and God forsook him in that moment, turned his back upon him because of our sins. When Jesus cried out, why hast thou forsaken me? I can tell you why today. Because of me. Because of you. And so often we run through Friday and we don't pause and we don't pray and we don't meditate. We don't fall on our faces and let tears fall from our eyes confessing our sins, but we show up on Easter ready to smile and celebrate. Folks, what I'm saying is Easter is celebration, and man, are we going to celebrate next Easter, by the way. It is going to be a neat, neat service. The Lord's bringing things together in a really powerful way. Really, it's going to be fun. But understand, we need to go through Thursday and Friday and even the darkness of Saturday in order to get to Easter. Now, I don't personally know why God just didn't write us off. Now, I really don't know. You start adding it up. How many times have you, just you, rebelled against the Lord in your life? How many times have you sinned and you knew you were sinning? I mean, it's one thing we kind of sometimes say, well, I didn't really know I was doing it. But most of the time we do. How many times have you sinned and you rebelled, you turned your back on the Lord? Now, multiply that by everybody that's ever lived and everybody that will live. I don't know why God didn't write us off. Because our history, our track record isn't any good. And yet, God loved us with a love so deep and so rich and so high. I mean, it doesn't make any sense, but that's the way that God loved us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God demonstrated his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Again, we are told that being in the very nature of God, he didn't consider the equality of God something to be grasped, but Jesus left heaven, the perfectness of where we want to go and get to. He left all that and came to this earth and took on the form of a servant and of a man, and he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. And all for us. I don't understand it. Oh, I'm so thankful for it, but I don't understand it. Expectations were running high that Palm Sunday, but I got to tell you, they weren't running nearly high enough, were they? Because we know. I mean, the crowds, they were shouting and they were hollering and they were singing Hosanna. I mean, finally the Messiah had arrived, and their shouts of Hosanna reflected the hopes that they had and the expectations that they had. Hosanna, save us. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. You know, David's kingdom. The restoration of it, back when Israel made a difference, back when they didn't have Rome, you know, telling them what to do. That kingdom. A time when the Messiah came, it was prophesied it would be a time of plenty. They wouldn't be subjected to anyone. There wouldn't be any more suffering. Hey, no wonder they were shouting Hosannas. Because when the Messiah comes, he's going to usher in a wonderful, wonderful time. And so they exalted Jesus. But listen. They only exalted him so long as Jesus fulfilled their expectation of what they wanted him to do. When he came riding in to Jerusalem that day, they had those palm branches just a-waving and a-shouting and a-singing and a-carrying on. But when Jesus didn't do what they wanted him to do, it wasn't till Friday all of a sudden Hosanna turned into crucify him. Let's get rid of him. Just crucify him. Because Jesus didn't do what they wanted. I mean, even for the disciples, I mean, they should have had a better understanding of what was going on, but they didn't grasp the depth of it either. I mean, when they're on the way to Jerusalem, they're arguing. What are they arguing about? Well, who's going to be greatest? James and John tries to usurp the rest of them and said, we want the right and the left hands of Jesus. Why? Because that political, earthly kingdom, if you've got the right and the left hand of whoever the king is, that's a good place to be. That's why they wanted it. And when their expectations were not met, when Jesus was arrested in Gethsemane, guess what? They took off. And they ran because Jesus wasn't doing things the way they thought he ought. For the most part, people still miss it today. We put all sorts of expectations upon Jesus by what we say, what we do, and what we want. You know, people say, you know, if I live a good life, then God will see to it that only good things happen to me. Need to read the book of Job, I guess. Some think that if they have enough faith that they can get God to do anything they want God to do. But, of course, we understand that's really not faith. Some think if they just show up at church every now and again that that's good enough to have a decent relationship with the Lord. But I got to tell you, that's not what a relationship with the Lord is all about. It's about selling out to the Lord not just a few times a year but every single day of our life. It's almost the idea, you know, so long as everything's going the way I want, I'll shout Hosanna. But the second things don't go the way that I want, I'm out of here. I don't know what happened to Jesus, but he didn't come through for me. You know, Jesus spent a lot of time trying to tell the disciples and to help them understand. He said, look, we're going to Jerusalem, and I'm going to be betrayed, and I'm going to die, but I'm going to rise again. I mean, he was blunt with it, but they missed it all because he wasn't saying what they wanted him to say. Palm Sunday. Yep, sets us off on Holy Week, and it's a different week than any other week in our year. Fact is, it's a different week than any other year in history. It is absolutely a day, a week that should bring us filled with hopes and expectations, because we do know the rest of the story. We know that even though the rug was pulled out from underneath the disciples' feet when Jesus was arrested, we know even that the cross was not the end. We know that Sunday did come. We know that Jesus arose from the dead. We know that he's coming again. And so, yeah, today we need to be shouting Hosanna in the highest. And the Lord's Supper, see, it's a worship that is jam-packed full of expectations and hope. See, Holy Communion is a taste of what will be. We get a little bit of it today, but I got to tell you, someday when Jesus is serving us at his table, it's going to be better. And Jesus himself said, I tell you the truth, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew in the kingdom of God. I'm looking forward to that meal. And as good as it is today, as good as it is when the Holy Spirit comes upon us and does something with that bread and with that juice and we experience the grace of God through it, it's going to be better someday. So we come to this table and we know that death is not all that there is. We know that he lives, he lives. Jesus is not only alive, but we know he's coming back to get us at just the right time. And that's why we have placed our blessed hope in the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yes, we should never come without remembering what he did and the blood and the death, but we also come in celebration of what it means and what someday will be. I have to think. I've got to think that every time Peter or James or John or any of the disciples officiated at the table, I got to think they heard those words in the back of their mind. I will not drink it again until that day when I drink it anew in the kingdom of God. Those are precious words. Holy Communion reminds us about who we are. It reminds us about where we are going. It is a taste of what is in store for us someday. And that is why we build, sure, yeah, we build all sorts of expectations and hope based on the Lord's Supper. That's why it's so central to our theology and to our faith. Because in this bread and this cup, we experience Jesus just a little bit. A few years ago, some shepherds in eastern Turkey watched on as they were eating breakfast. They watched one of the sheep in the herd literally jump over a cliff and fall 45 feet to death. That was astounding because they had no idea what happened. But before they could do anything, what they watched was the rest of the herd. Followed. Yeah, 1,500 sheep in all jumped over that cliff that morning. Now, the Washington Post said only 450 died because after a while there was something soft to land on. Can you imagine that, really? I mean, first of all, why did that one jump over? Well, no one will ever know. Although we're told that sheep aren't that smart of creatures, and apparently they're not. But more astoundingly, why would the 1,499 other sheep do the same thing? And I have no idea. I can't explain to you why they did it, but I can tell you this. You better be careful who you follow today. Because if you're not careful, they're going to lead you somewhere where you don't want to be. And the truth is, the Bible says we're all sheep. But we don't follow just any shepherd. We follow the good shepherd. Look, I know whom I have believed. And I know that he's going to lead me to where I need to be. And I know that today is just a glimmer of how great someday is going to be. Absolutely, I know who I'm following. I'm not jumping off a cliff to be killed. I'm following the risen Lord that's leading me to his throne. And that's part of what it means to come and eat the bread and drink the cup this morning. So yeah, deep down inside, don't you want to do it? Don't you want to just holler, Hosanna? Hosanna in the highest. Yes, indeed, Lord. Lord, save us. But then, we know that's what he did because that's why we come to his table. Mark, if you and Mary would come. Thank you.
this bread in remembrance of me. Drink this wine in remembrance of me. Pray for the time when God's own will is done. In remembrance of me, heal the sick. In remembrance of me, feed the poor. In remembrance of me,
quick words. We, of course, practice open communion here at the church, which means you do not have to be a member of our church in order to come to the Lord's table. It does mean, in fact, that the Lord is both your Savior and your Lord, that you've made a profession, you've opened your life, you said, yes, Lord, I'm a sinner and I need your forgiveness. And if you've done that, if you know the Lord, then this morning, this altar, this table, the bread and the cup is open to you, and we encourage you to come. We typically take as groups here, the groups are not defined. Come whenever you want, and kneel. Kneel if you can. If you cannot kneel, that's fine. If you need the bread and the cup brought to you today, the stewards will indeed do that for you. At this time, I'd ask those serving stewards if they would come and prepare the table for Holy Communion. And when it was evening, he came with the 12, and as they were reclining at the table and eating, Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They began to be sorrowful and say to him one after the other, "Is it I?" He said to them, "It is one of the 12, one who is dipping bread into the dish with me. For the Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born." And as they were eating, he took bread, and after he blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it to them and said, "Take, this is my body." And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And And he said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew in the kingdom of God." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Let us pray. Lord, through the power of your Holy Spirit and by the Spirit's presence, we're asking for a miracle to take place right here, right now, right at this table. Lord, what we pray is that through these crackers and this juice, that you would now consecrate these. Lord, that through the cracker and the juice, that your assurance of our salvation might flow. That through these emblems that we hold dear because they represent you, that through these emblems, Lord, that your grace might come and cover our lives. Lord, we pray and we ask for your anointing and for your movement in this very moment. In Jesus' name, amen. Hosanna in the highest. Lord, save us. That is our plea. And that is his promise to us, the body of Christ. Blessed be the name of Jesus. For in Jesus and by his shed blood, we are forgiven and we are family. The blood of Christ. If our first group would please come and gather around the altar of the Lord. In giving his body, he took our sins upon himself. And in that moment, he saved us, the body of Christ. Paul wrote, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." This cup represents the blood of Christ, and in him and him alone we live, the blood of Christ. It says after that they had shared the bread and the cup that they sang a hymn and went out to the Mount of Olives. And probably what they sang was the Hallel, which is the 118th Psalm. And it says, part of it says, the Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. As you go, remember that this is only a taste of what will someday be. God bless you. Hosanna is our plea, and the cross is the God's exclamation point that he indeed has saved us. In giving his body, he took our sins upon himself, the body of Christ. Paul wrote, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. This cup represents the blood of Christ. And in him and him alone, we are saved. The blood of Christ. As they went out to the Mount of Olives, in all probability, they spoke some of these words. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. And indeed, shouts of victory and joy is ours today because of Jesus Christ. As you go, remember that this is only a taste of what will one day be. God bless you. Cracker is a cracker until it represents something much more. And this morning, as you kneel here at this altar, it represents much more. It represents that Christ took upon his body your sin. He gave his body for you. And in giving his body, he saved us, the body of Christ. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. This cup now represents the blood of Christ. And in him and him alone do we live. The blood of Christ that was shed for you. As they made their way to the Mount of Olives, they probably spoke some of these words. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. And indeed, through the hands of the Lord, nailed to the cross, he affirmed our salvation. May God bless you. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Indeed, blessed is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In giving his body, he took our sins upon himself. And in that moment on Calvary, he saved us. The body of Christ, which was given for you. Great words. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. The cup represents the blood of Christ, and in him and him alone do we live. The blood of Christ. Part of the Hallel says, I will not die, but live, and will proclaim what the Lord has done. Go proclaim what the Lord has done in your life that others might know. God bless you. Hosanna is our plea, and Calvary is God's answer to us, the body of Christ. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. The cup represents the blood of Christ, and it is in him and him alone that we live.
the blood of Christ. Remember as you go that today is only a taste of what is to come, and the best is yet to come. God bless you. This cracker represents the body of Christ. And in his body, he took our sins that we might live. The body of Christ. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. The cup represents the Lord's blood, and it is him, in him, and him alone that we now have life, the blood of Christ. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Indeed, he has. And today is only a taste of what will someday be. May God bless you. Is there anyone that needs us to bring the bread and the cup to you this morning? Our service as Jesus and the disciples did. They sang a hymn and went out. May God bless you, and may God's grace always be with you.
May the Lord mighty God, joining together in the choral benediction, may the Lord mighty God. Meet again. May God bless you, and you are dismissed.